The Bleed Smart Sportscast is brought to you by SunMaxBatteries.com, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SunMaxBatteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty, ultra-alkaline lithium and button cell batteries. SunMaxBatteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SunMaxBatteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming controls, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke alarms, whatever device you need a battery for, SunMax has the best batteries at the best price for your device. You can order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of ultra-alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming and high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today and use coupon code BOSTON at checkout. That's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save 20% off your entire order. 20% off those already low prices. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save big today. SunMaxBatteries.com, CellMaxBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys.
All right. What's up, everybody? Back on the Celtics post game after their game four loss to the Nets. And I know one that nobody's really happy about. Game three, there was a lot to love about game three, obviously, with Tatum's great performance. And, you know, coming into tonight, at first it looked pessimistic with the news that Kemba wouldn't be playing and Robert Williams would be out. But the more I thought about it, I took that and I said, you know what? In game three, Kemba was terrible. Kemba was dreadful in game three. I think he had 6 points on 2 of 14 shooting or something horrible like that. It's like maybe 3 of 14 shooting, something terrible. Kemba was not a non-factor. In fact, he was maybe a net negative in game three. And Robert Williams, he only played 6 minutes and didn't even score a single point. As I'm drifting here for some reason. And on the other, you know, so both of those guys really did not produce much in that game. So coming into tonight, I figured that, you know, things, you know, without those guys, things should have still been pretty decent. Zelda still should have had a decent shot to win. And I, you know, so I thought, hey, you, those guys were pretty much a non-factor. They won game three without those guys, basically. So they're not going to have them in game four. So what? They'll still have them in game three. They'll still have Jason Tatum, who's obviously the most important of that entire group. They'll still have Evan Fournier. They still have Marcus Smart. And Romeo Langford had a really, really solid game. Why? I can't figure out why I'm drifting here. This is very, very odd. Anyway, I know a lot of you guys are going to want to react because I think maybe I'm unstable here. That might be why. Hold on. Let me just fix the tripod leg here. Try to get things back on track. Yeah, it's a little shaky too, but we'll take this. We'll take this. Anyway. So Jason Tatum, obviously, he put up 50 last night. I mean, that this game puts up 40 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, playing incredible in this game as well. Just wasn't enough when you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving playing as well as they were. So there's not a lot you can do about that if you're the Celtics. And this is kind of the story of the series, is you have one superstar in Jason Tatum going up against three superstars in Harden, Irving, and Durant. And Durant and Irving did the scoring tonight, 81 points combined for those two. Ridiculous. It's like, you know, one of those games that you saw back when Irving and LeBron were playing together and the NBA Finals, and they were putting up those crazy stat lines. I mean, that's what you're talking about. And then Harden, who we're not even really going to mention that much, 18 assists in the game. It's just, when you have three players like that, and they're all on, which they were tonight, it's just impossible. It's impossible to do anything about that. So, you know, you throw your hands up and you say, well, Jason Tatum had another great game. He had 40.7 rebounds and 5 assists, but what did he do? And the Celtics aren't totally, you know, absolved from any blame here. They still had their woes, especially defensively. They didn't play as well defensively as they could have. But even when you're at your best defensively, what exactly are you supposed to do when you're going up against a Nets team with three all-stars? It's just, it's ridiculous. So, you know, they don't do super well there. Romeo, by the way, I mean, another reason for that, maybe you should have felt a little optimistic, was just that Romeo comes in and, you know, I think last game he was a plus 21, which was the most on the team. So, you know, you don't have Kemba, Romeo starting. Supposedly that's supposed to be better defensively. I mean, when you looked at their lineup tonight, and that's kind of what's most disappointing about why they were so bad defensively, their starting lineup tonight of Marcus Smart, Romeo Langford, Jason Tatum. Like, I know you'd prefer to have Robert Williams in there, but that should still be one of your better lineups defensively, especially against a Nets team where their strength is at guard and on the wing. Like, having Romeo and Smart out there as your two wing, two perimeter defenders, your two guard defenders going up against Harden and Kyrie, that it shouldn't have been an advantage, Boston, but it should have helped more than it did because Kyrie went nuts. And of course, Durant went nuts and Harden had a good game. So it's just, that's what's most disappointing about it. And the Nets got a lot of switches too. They got Grant on Harden and quite a bit, and that wasn't helpful. That was obviously an issue. So, you know, things weren't super great there, and obviously, you know, that posed problems, and that's part of why it went off. It's not all on Smart and Romeo, but you hope that lineup could have produced better defensively than they did, better defensive results, this being their by far their worst defensive game of the series, and one you really needed because I was not under the illusion, and I'm sure many of you weren't under the illusion, that the Celtics were going to find a way to win this series and find a way back in this series, but it felt, you know, you still would have liked to see, well, you know, let's see them tie it up in game four, tie up the series 2-2, and then see what happens. You know, just win this one more and it'll make things a little interesting and a little fun. We have to talk about it rather than you're down 3-1 going back to Brooklyn. It's over at this point. It's probably over at this point. So this one game would have been nice to win and have that little, you know, conversation. You could have kept things going for a few more days. But, you know, it's kept some life, but the Nets suck it out of you. And it's just, you know, even in the early points of that game, first quarter, Celtics come out with a lead. Things are looking well. Things are looking good. Even when Durant has 17 points in that first quarter, the Celtics held their own. And Tatum held his own. And all those guys, they came out of that first quarter with a lead. But then in the second quarter, the Nets start to pull away. And then you heard Scalabrine say it if you were listening to the NBC broadcast. You heard Brian Scalabrine say, like, the Nets go on this little run. They're up 8 points or so. And then Scal says, and now Durant and Irving are checking back in. So it was like you let the Nets get back into the game. And not just get back into the game. They were in the game the whole time. But you let the Nets build this lead when Durant and Irving were out of the game. And then those two came in. And it was just, like, lights out. And the game never got back into hand after that. It was pretty much all Nets from there. And that's really where the game was lost for the Celtics in that second quarter. And it's really tough for Brad Stevens, and I feel for him in this spot because it's difficult to know what to do with Jason Tatum because Jason Tatum is your entire offense. And I kind of saw at the end of the first quarter, it seemed like Brad Stevens was trying to get him some rest even while he was on the floor. Like, okay, we're going to have Tatum just kind of spot up in the corner for a few possessions, take a few possessions off offensively to get a chance to catch his breath. And the reason we're going to do that is because we still need him on the court. We still need his gravity on the court. We don't need someone like Semi Ojeleye or someone like Grant Williams or someone else out there who the Nets can feel comfortable helping off of. And it did result in a few, like Jabari Parker driving to the basket, Peyton Pritchard, whatever else. Like, you had a few players get a couple quick layups in there where Tatum's gravity sucked Durant out of the paint when otherwise Durant would have been in there contesting shots. He might not have gotten those shots. So I saw what he was doing, and, you know, I liked it. The problem was, yeah, eventually you have to take Tatum out. Eventually you have to actually give him some rest on the bench. And then what do you do offensively from there? And that was a big problem for the Celtics. Although, you know, I'm talking so much about offense, the big problem was defense tonight. They scored enough points. They scored plenty of points. But just, you know, you need to find a way to limit the Nets a little bit. I'm not asking you to shut down Kyrie Irving, which they did last game. But I'm not even asking you to do that. I'm not asking you to shut down Kevin Durant every night. Can they not shoot? Can Durant not shoot 70%? 70%, 42 points? I understand it's difficult. I understand it's difficult to guard Kevin Durant. I'm not saying it's not. But can you hold him to 50% shooting? Like, that would be a great game. Can you hold him to just 50% shooting and, like, 30 points? Can you hold Kyrie Irving to 30 points, under 30 points, just under it? Like, you can't let these guys go nuts. Like, you need to limit them a little bit. I'm not asking for anything otherworldly. I'm not asking for you to have Gary Payton out there or something like that. But you can't let them go off. I mean, that's just when it gets ridiculous. And, you know, I don't know what to expect from this point going into game five in Brooklyn. I don't expect much. I mean, you know, with Kemba out and Rob out, it's, you know, I don't know what their statuses were that led to the Celtics saying we're not even going to play them, because – in theory, you know, with the playoffs, I don't want anybody risking long-term injury. And I've been consistent on this. Like, if this season, they don't waste players' minutes, or if they're injured, don't risk further injury because of this season, because this is a lost season anyway. But at the same time, 2-1, game four in Boston, you have a chance to make it 2-2, and they don't play. I wonder what the equation there was, because the equation very well could have been those two didn't help us last game. Robert Williams didn't record a single stat last game. Nothing. Not a field goal attempt, not a turnover, not a block, nothing. Not a point, rebound, nothing. So if the equation was they're not going to help us anyway, why play them at all? They're not going to do anything for us. I can kind of get that, but that's just – it's tough to not play two of your four or five best players in that spot. And if people have a problem with that, I don't know if you guys in the chat have a problem with that. You know, I'm not going to shut that down because it is frustrating. It's got to be annoying when, you know, it's playoff time. You were hoping for a great season. Obviously things are lost, but you know, you're in this spot where it feels like there's just a fragment of hope. And then it turns out that they're just going to sit everybody down and there is none. I see you guys in the comments too. It's Gear and talking about the offense didn't even look too bad. What I was saying before, I mean, absolutely not. They put up almost 120 points tonight. And it was just, what do you, 126 points for the Celtics tonight. And some great performances outside of just Tatum. I mean, Marcus Smart was pretty good, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. Pritchard played okay. Obviously, hit some big threes, 12 points out there. Nesmith hit some threes down the stretch that were kind of in garbage time, but we'll still give Nesmith the credit there. He played okay down the stretch there, even if it was kind of garbage time minutes. Same with Jabari Parker. Those minutes were – Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and James Harden were still out there, which they made sure to point out on the broadcast, like, why are those guys even still in the game? You're up 24, which was a little confusing, but the Nets got away with it, so whatever. But yeah, those guys played pretty well, but they scored pretty well. It's just they couldn't do anything and defensively against the Nets. And again, you have to be better. You don't have to shut down these guys, but you can't let them just go completely nuts. And it even speaks to like Bruce Brown, who, 14 points and 7 rebounds for Bruce Brown, too much. Joe Harris was kind of limited tonight with 14 points, but like it is amazing that you look at the rest of the Nets entire team here. Just, Joe Harris and Bruce Brown had 14. So, but if you get past their top five, like everybody else had 9 points. And I say top five, like, was this top five for minutes tonight? Tonight I'm going to break it down. Yeah, once you get past the Nets' five leaders in minutes tonight, so, essentially their bench, it was basically their starting lineup. You put Bruce Brown in there over Blake Griffin because Bruce Brown played 6 more minutes than Blake Griffin in the game. And essentially everybody else that's not Durant, Irving, Harden, Joe Harris, and Bruce Brown combined to score 9 points. Nick Claxton played 8 minutes, didn't score. Tyler Johnson played 16, scored 2 points. Landry Shamet played 13, scored 5. And Blake played 18 minutes and scored 2. So 9 points combined for the rest of those Nets players. It's just, and you talk, the Nets depth isn't bad. It's just when you have 3 all-stars, 3 superstars, 3 MVP-type players, you don't need everybody else. So it's crazy what they will do on offense. Nets got away way too comfortable scoring in the paint. That's true as well. They were getting a lot of easy layups. And that's kind of the impact of what we just talked about, not playing Robert Williams. So, yes, Robert Williams isn't 100%. He's really struggling. He's playing through a lot of pain. You can see it when he's out there. He's in a lot of pain. But to not play him when, you're in the playoffs and you know what he can do with the rim against the Nets. And you've seen it this series. You saw it in game one. He was incredible at playing through this same injury. And has it gotten worse? I don't know. I don't have any way of knowing that. We haven't heard that reported. It's just he's tried to continue managing it and he's in a lot of pain and he's hurting. But if you're, like the Celtics, it's tough to say, we're just not going to play Robert Williams. We're just going to, sit him out. He's in too much pain, whatever. And then this happens and the Nets get a ton of points in the paint, ton of points at the basket, getting layup after layup. And it's like, well, if Robert Williams is out there, that's obviously a different story. Even limited as he is, we saw what he could do limited and get all the blocks he got. So even if it's just his presence, even if you just have him on the court, maybe he can't do too much. But the Nets seeing him in the middle, depending on, how aware they are of his issues, which, you know, they have to be a little bit. But even just his presence in there, of them looking and seeing Marvin Williams, it'll give them a second of hesitation. And maybe the game goes on and they start driving a few times and they say, this guy can't get up right now. He can't get off the floor. He can't block our shots. He's not the player he usually is. That's different. But if you can at least have the, it's kind of like what we talked about with Jason Tatum, right? Having him on the court, just kind of standing in the corner, just to you know, make the defenders stay honest and stay on him, and so that it opens things up for other players. If you have Robert Williams on defense, maybe, you know, the Nets don't drive once or twice when they otherwise would have. It's just a deterrent. And even if it's just kind of a if he's just like a what do they call those things, a paper pigeon or something like that, whatever it is, you know, the scarecrow, whatever you want to call it, he's kind of just a fake paper tiger, I think is the saying. It's, you know, just a kind of the fake, you know, not, he's not actually going to do much once you get in there, but he just, his presence alone and his reputation gives you pause there. All right, let's get to some of the other comments. Kemba and I score the same amount of points as I did. The difference, I get paid $0, and he didn't play, so that's kind of silly to say tonight of all nights. If you want to brag on him last night, then go ahead. But I mean, yeah, and if you want to rag on him for not playing, I guess, you know, I said you could at the beginning of the show, so now I'm kind of going back on it. But like, I don't know. That's kind of silly to say. If you want to really get on Kemba for not playing, talk about Kemba not playing. Say, you know, you think he should have played tonight. He should have played through injury. You don't care. And if that's your take, fine. But again, he didn't play that well last night. And they definitely have to look into trading Kemba in the offseason and see what they could get. I don't know that they're going to get a lot unless someone really forces their way here, unless they attach a lot of assets to Kemba. Like, I was thinking this, and I know this is super long shot, super pipe dream, whatever you want to call it. But like, if Bradley Beal, and I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy right now, but if you find like maybe a three-team trade where you can send Kemba's salary somewhere else and they send salary to Washington and whatever. Okay, maybe it's the Thunder. I don't know. Some team with cap space this offseason. You send Kemba to Oklahoma City, say, and Oklahoma City absorbs his cap space or whatever. And then Washington's able to send you Bradley Beal, and you also send Oklahoma City or Washington, whoever you have to send, you send out Nesmith, you send out Pritchard, you send out every first round pick you own for like half a decade. Like, I'm talking everything, you might even have to send out Robert Williams in that case, which I wouldn't be totally opposed to, like if we're talking about Bradley Beal. So if you use Kemba's salary slot to bring in a guy like Beal, and I think for that to really work, Beal would have to go to Washington and say, I'm playing for Boston and only Boston. They would have to say, we have to work out a deal with Boston. And then, you know, he's like Robert Williams. Games like tonight from Aaron Nesmith are helpful, where he looks pretty solid. Peyton Pritchard, I know we all love those guys, but and those guys have been had good seasons, solid seasons. But those are your young trade chips right now. So throw all those guys in, whatever else you have to put in. I don't, you know, there's not much else that's valuable on the Celtics roster right now. But any, you know, your first round pick this year might be, you know, 16th, I think it's slotted to be right now, something like that. So if you throw in the 16th pick, whatever, like every pick, like I said, everything. You empty the cupboard except for Brown and Tatum for Bradley Beal. And if you can do that, that's the best case scenario. I find it hard to believe they're going to be able to get something like that done. But what's important to me in trading Kemba is do whatever you have to do. Attach every single asset you have that's actually tradable to try to get something valuable for that salary slot. Because once that salary slot is gone, once his contract expires, and we talked about this with Gordon Hayward, it's gone unless there's a sign and trade, which, by the way, that was different with Gordon Hayward because some team was willing to come along and pay Gordon Hayward for $30 million and you could sign and trade him somewhere and open up that trade exception. People probably aren't signing Kemba to a contract sizable enough to create a really valuable, juicy trade exception. That's probably not going to happen. So once Kemba's salary is off the books, that money is gone. They're up against the cap with Tatum and Brown. They're not going to have that extra max contract anymore. So making the most of his salary slot and trying to find whatever avenue you can to trade him for another superstar or just a star or something is very, very important. So if they can figure out a way to do that, I would hope they can. Saying someone threw a water bottle at Kyrie. I didn't see this. Did this actually happen? That would be awful if it did, especially with everything that went down this past week with Kyrie talking about everything like that. Oh my goodness, that is ridiculous. My goodness, I'm looking at this video right now. Let me see this. Oh my goodness, that's horrible. That's horrible. That's completely awful. It's despicable. I hate this. Let me just tweet this out right now. Oh my God. Oh my goodness, this is awful. Water bottle at Kyrie. Guys, I need to talk about this because this was a topic all week, okay? About this kind of stuff and fans doing things like, I don't understand how this can keep happening. Like we were told kind of for, I don't know how long now. I mean, for a week you heard about people ragging on Boston fans, people, you know, saying, oh, all these Boston fans and talking about some very serious stuff in relation to Boston fans, saying that there's problems with racism in Boston, which there are, but it's just, I mean, you should have felt, every fan in Boston should have felt some sense of responsibility to prove that to not be the case. Like, everybody should have felt, and I understand that there's some pushback to that too, if it's not true and whatever you want to say about it, but you also should have felt like, I want to prove this wrong. I want to prove this, that this isn't true, that we're actually good, you know, good fans and everything like this. And not just that, but the incidents across the NBA with a fan spitting on Trae Young, popcorn being thrown at Russell Westbrook. Why would that happen? And your inclination, anybody out there, your inclination be to imitate that after all the backlash towards those fans who did those actions. That is ridiculous. It's abhorrent. It's disgusting. I don't care if it was water bottle. I don't care if it was a single piece of popcorn. I don't care if it was styrofoam. I don't care if it was a piece of paper. I don't care if it was a paper airplane. Whatever it was, you can't do that. You can't go to a basketball game and treat players like that. I don't care who the player is. I don't care that it's Kyrie Irving. You can't. That's ridiculous. You can't get away with that. It's stupid. That fan's probably going to be banned for life. He should. And it's like that, such an idiot, such a moronic person. And I've used this analogy, and this is much higher scale than this. But like, imagine you go into a fast food joint. You go into a fast food joint. You order a drink from McDonald's or whatever. You take the drink, you pour the soda fountain, and you throw the soda at the McDonald's worker. Do you think you're ever going to be allowed back in the place again just because you're at a sporting event? You can't throw things at people and then expect to come back. You're going to get thrown out. You're going to get thrown out, and you deserve to. You're an idiot if you actually think you can do that. And after, like, it's just so, it's so dumb to think after what Kyrie Irving said, to give him, to actually give him solid evidence and fuel to his argument of what he thinks of you, as fans and as a fan, whatever. For this person to do that, everybody in Boston should hate this person for doing this. Like, you actually are going out there and making the fans look worse and ruining the reputation even further after what Kyrie said this week. I mean, to think that's the right thing to do. I didn't have a problem with people booing, with the chants, anything like that. All that stuff's fine. You want to boo, you want to chant that Kyrie sucks and whatever else you want to say about him, you know, within reason, obviously. You want to say, what was it, Kyrie sucks, and you know, I know the where's Kyrie. If you want to say even F you, Kyrie, go for it. Go ahead, do that. But you can't throw things at him. Like, that. You can't rise to that level. That is where the line is. You crossed it. And now this stuff's really going to take off. Like, if you thought this last week was bad, get ready for the next week. Because there were people who came out nationally and defended Celtics fans. They defended them. And now this, like, this ruins the reputation even further. So that this is despicable. It's horrible. It's awful. It's just ridiculous. I want to see. Do we have any other comments like that? I don't think. Obviously, MT talking about the fans. I'm sure he's not talking about it in this case. But that's just it's ridiculous. It's Gear saying I'm not sure if it was intentional, but it looked like Kyrie wiped shoes on the logo. Is saying I guess maybe that happened at the end of the game. Even if he did that, you still can't throw a water bottle at him. I don't care if he did that or not. And it was You're saying, I'm not sure if it was an intentional, who knows if it was an intentional or not. It could have just been, in passing. So it's you can't throw a water bottle at him walking out of the arena after that game. It's just, it's stupid. All right. I mean, I'm sure we'll continue to talk about it. I don't see any other comments about it, but we'll try to talk about the rest of the game for a little bit. If anyone else wants to talk about this whole incident with Kyrie, we certainly can get into it. Let's see. I see actually ESPN tweeting it out now. I'll see if I can pull it up. It's Gear, and try to like pull up this ESPN tweet. Hold on. I think I can even send it to myself so we can kind of look at it. Okay. Well, let's pull this up. Let's see. I'll airdrop it to my MacBook so I can share my screen here. All right. I don't want to do that. All right. Let me see. I'll minimize this. So this is the video that we're talking about here of Kyrie. Share. And this is what I want. All right. Let's see. So we're sharing it right now. And I know it's going to look a little weird, guys. I might even have the Bannertown stuff right up right now. I'll fix that so it looks a little, doesn't look as bad. But yeah, this is the video where I'm kind of taking my first real look at it now. Steps over to center court, just appears to be greeting his teammates. I don't know, guys. I mean, look, it's a little much. He takes one little tiny aggressive step into it. It's not like he drags his shoe a little. It wasn't that abhorrent. Is he doing a little something there? Probably, maybe, but it's not like he's spitting on it or like, this does not rise to the level where you can even begin to justify throwing a water bottle at him over this. This is not to that extreme at all. So look, I get it. I get why people are, would be upset about that a little bit, but it does not rise to that level of let's throw things at this thing. You don't want incidents like that. You don't want to further that reputation for you as fans and everything like that. So it's just ridiculous. And then it's Gear saying, yeah, Kyrie stomped on the logo and then he got a water bottle threw at him. You guys saying, let's see, I don't know if you guys said anything else about the Kyrie. Definitely a stomp, looks straight at Lucky's head. And guys, like, I get it. I get why people are annoyed because it's like the logo and it's the whole thing with the Celtics and the brand and everything like that. And there's some sacred element to it. But like, so he stepped on your logo. He stepped on your logo, you drove his foot, like, whatever. You still can't do that. Again, MT, I know what you're saying. Not justification for anything, but speaking on the topic alone, he stomped. Sure. Again, but MT, and I get what you're saying. Did he stomp? Fine. Sure. I don't know. Yeah, sure. I'll say he stomped. Does not matter. That pales in comparison to throwing a water bottle at him as he's walking out of the arena, because it's bringing a world of pain to the Celtics. I'm going to try. There's a bunch of comments about the game. We haven't totally caught up with the comments about this situation. So I'm going to try to talk a little bit more about those comments about the game and tonight and a little bit more of what happened as we wrap things up. And we'll certainly rope the Kyrie stuff into that too. Adam Wong saying, not that it would have made much of a difference, but that lineup at the start of the second quarter. Yeah. And you kind of said it that, that look, the second quarter is where the game was lost. And I said that off the top, that it was just that was really where things kind of took a turn for the worse. And certainly, I know that the Celtics, they had to take Tatum out, but just to have the Nets go on that run with Durant and Kyrie off the court on top of what Kyrie and Durant did actually in the game, just ridiculous. MT saying some positives. Smart still continues to shine. It just needs the shooting threes. Just needs to stop shooting threes. He's so much better driving the ball and kicking it and playing bully ball and scoring inside the arc. Yeah, and Smart's, you're right. Smart's been pretty good at that throughout his career, and especially passing. I don't know if you mentioned the driving kick. Yeah, kicking it out. He's probably the best passer on the team. And, to for like, you know, I don't know if this is going to be the path they take with Smart, but this makes like the good performance in the playoffs, and this is back-to-back pretty solid performances. It certainly makes it easier to trade him in the offseason. And I don't know if he's totally going to replenish his value, because he hasn't had the best season, obviously, this year. And it's only a few playoff games, so it's not like this is going to bring his value back to where it was last year, the year before, or anything like that. But this can help a little bit if you are looking to trade Smart this offseason. You know, then you actually have he builds value up just a tiny bit more, so you can get something of value for him. And I'm not saying they should or what they should do this offseason. We'll talk about all that, you know, in due time. But if they are going to strongly be considering it, this only helps, because you really needed Smart to end up having some pretty solid games, at least in this playoff run, to you know, eventually kind of get to his you know, whatever you're going to get for him. I don't know. People talked, I guess it was last year now. I know there were those talks about, like, oh, could you trade Smart to the Golden State Warriors for the second overall pick? And, like, that was, or the third overall pick, as it was. And it's like, or the second, it was second. But that was too much. You were never going to get the second overall pick for Smart. The Hawks at six were a little more interesting. Could you even get that for him now? I don't know. But, yeah, we'll see what what avenues open up in the offseason. I'm sure there will be some interested teams. I just think his value is taking a real hit, but games like this certainly help. And another one, you're saying Nesmith needs longer run. He's definitely built up his confidence with his shot and defense. Tristan Thompson loves the Boston fans base, no doubt. I don't know. I'm more hesitant on the Tristan Thompson thing. He just seems like generally a kind of a rah-rah guy who's going to get behind his team no matter what. I don't think it's anything particularly about Boston. I just think he's that type of player who's going to back the city, back the team, no matter who he plays for. And the Celtics are just who he's playing for right now. I don't know that he loves Boston. He hasn't played too much in front of him, so he hasn't had that built up that relationship with Boston fans. So I don't know that he loves them as much as he's just doing that for the team to sake, which certainly isn't a bad thing either. But stuff about Nesmith. Yeah, and, you know, Nesmith, again, he shot the ball pretty well. He had that air ball in the fourth quarter, too. Like, you know, he shot pretty well, but he had that random air ball that was kind of just weird and, that came out of nowhere. But, overall, he had a pretty solid game. And, again, a guy that you might need to trade in the offseason, so he built up his trade value a little bit there for you, if that's something you're going to take a look at. But, offense isn't the problem. And defensively, like, he wasn't out there a lot. Maybe they should have played him more. I don't know. But defensively, nobody was good tonight. So, there's not much we can say there. Henry saying, would having JB for the start of the playoffs have made this a different series? I don't think it would have made this a different series. If you had JB, let's say, way back for those Miami games, maybe it is a different story. Okay, maybe all of a sudden you're talking about, you have Jaylen Brown, you get the 5 seed or the 6 seed. You probably need to get at least the 5 seed. And if that happens, then you're playing the Hawks or the Knicks. Maybe you can win a round. But when you're going up against these teams like the Nets and the Bucks, even if you were to go up against the Bucks, and we saw they just steamrolled Miami, or even the Sixers, who are steamrolling the Wizards right now, it's just it's hard this year. I as much as I would have said, you know what, with a fully healthy lineup, with a fully healthy Jaylen Brown, with a fully healthy Robert Williams, this team is still really good, really talented. I just don't think this was their year. So I'm excited for next year. I think if they bring most of the roster back, maybe they have to do some stuff with Kemba, but if they bring back Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, maybe Robert Williams, depending on what's available to you in a trade, if you can get a real, real superstar for him or something like that, if you package him with some other players, then maybe that's different. But if they bring back this team and it's fully healthy, they should be good. They should be competitive. I just think you can't just jump into a playoff series with everybody kind of battered and bruised and win, especially with the rhythm that the Sixers and Bucks and Nets have gotten into this year. So, and Abdul, I'm sure this is not a negative, but yeah, I trade Kemba for a second round pick and cash considerations. I wouldn't. I still think you have to hold on to Kemba. Look, Anmol, for as much as you rag on Kemba Walker, he still has good games. It's not like he shows up every night and scores 6 points and it's like, you know, dog food out there. Like, and I understand that's what it's been kind of recently here. But if I'll pull up his game log right now. I mean, this is Let me pull it up here. 2021 and get the recent. This is the end of the regular season. Okay, so here we go. I share this part of my screen now. And again, it's going to look a little funky, but that's just what we're doing right now. Chrome tab, Kemba Walker. There we go. All right. So right now, okay, this is how Kemba Walker ended the regular season. 36, 18, 33, 32, 20, 32, 26. You got a 21 in here. And I understand not all of these are great. Not all of these are great. But you got 23, 21, 23, 22. He doesn't show up every night and suck. Half the time, he's not as good as you want him to be. But the other half, he's still putting up some really, really good performances in here. So to act like is Kemba Walker more valuable than a second-round pick? Yes, a second-round pick isn't doing this for you. He's not. Cash considerations, not doing this for you. You're not getting a trade except for Kemba Walker. I don't know. I don't even want to think about that right now. The whole imagination of a trade exception and everything like that. But let's just keep it for a second. Let's just keep it at a second-round pick. A second-round pick is not giving you, 32 here, 21 here, 25. It's not giving you 20-plus every other night, okay? A second-round pick is not averaging 19 points per game, 19.3 points per game, okay? Second-round pick isn't doing that. So, on, by the way, 42% shooting and 36% from three, which, by the way, pretty much his career averages. Kemba Walker, career average, 36%. No, sorry, yes, career average, 36% per three. This is probably the most annoying part. These are Kemba Walker's. Oh, I have them up here too. But here, let's just stick down here. Kemba Walker's career averages 41.9% shooting this season, 42%. Career average 36% from three this season, 36%. Career points per game 19.9 points this season, 19.3. I mean, what are we talking about? I understand Kemba's been a little disappointing, but we're falling into this. This trap, it seems like, where like Gordon Hayward isn't an all-star, a megastar, so he sucks. And Kemba Walker isn't an all-star, a megastar, so he sucks. No, he's still a really good player. Does he come with his, a litany of issues? He's not healthy all the time. He doesn't always play in the big moments. He's had some struggles in the playoffs. Yeah, but don't act like you would trade a second-round pick for him. That's stupid. That is idiotic to trade a second-round pick for Kemba Walker. He's still performing at pretty much the same level that he has for his career averages. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. 36% from three, 42% from the field, 19.5 roughly points per game. Like, it's a lot. And even, like, the assist numbers and stuff like that. Look, rebounds, assists, 4.9, 3.8, 5.4. Look, if you don't like Kemba Walker, that's one thing. But don't act like this isn't who he is. This is the player Kemba Walker's always been. So if you have a problem with that, go ahead and say that you think Kemba Walker has sucked and he's always sucked. But it's not a this year thing. It's not Kemba with his issues now, no. This is who Kemba Walker is, and he's struggling in the playoffs. He has, for two straight years now, he hasn't performed in the playoffs the way you want him to, and that is a problem. That is a real problem that we can acknowledge. But can we stop acting like he's, like Peyton Pritchard's better than him, or like he's Smush Parker, or like what? Like, that's not Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker's really good still. So I'm tired of talking about him like he's some nobody. He's terrible. Talking about C's had the lead after the first quarter and the game was relatively competitive for a good chunk of the game. Clearly outmatched talent wise when they played team ball offensively. Just kept it interesting. Loved the energy the fans brought, and I know you're not talking about the Kyrie stuff. I'm sure you're not talking about the Kyrie stuff there. But also saying, outside of the Celtics, what team are you pulling for the rest of the way to win it all? Personally, I want to see the Suns raise a banner and CP3 finally get a ring to solidify his Hall of Fame career. I think the Suns are certainly a good pick. I don't know if I'm rooting for a team to like win it all per se. I'll just go round by round. Like right now, I really like the Hawks. I really like what Trae Young's doing. Am I going to root for them to win it all? I don't think it's going to happen. So, like, I think it's a little silly to be like, I want the Hawks to win it all. Like, okay, yeah, and I want the Celtics to win it all. Like, no, it's not happening. But I'll just go round by round. I'll enjoy each game. You know, I like rooting for the Hawks. I like what Trae Young's doing. I think it's fun. I've always been a huge fan of, maybe you guys have heard me talk about it before, but that 30 for 30 documentary, Reggie Miller versus the New York Knicks, and what Reggie Miller did to the Knicks for years. And I think there are some similarities right now with what Trae Young's doing. So I just love it. And I really love that series. That's been my favorite series so far. So I'm going to be rooting for the Hawks for a while. Also, Trae Young's just kind of my guy. I wrote an article about him way back when he was in the draft. He gave me a retweet on it. Shout out to Trae Young. But yeah, Trae Young's kind of my guy. So I'm going to be pulling for the Hawks. But other than that, I don't have another team out there that I'm like, oh yeah, I really love that team. Like, I like Jokic and the Nuggets, but I don't think they're going too far. The Suns are certainly a cool story. I'd like to see them beat the Lakers. That would be really fun. Obviously, Luka's fun to watch. And, you know, the Nets are ridiculous. And I'm not having fun watching them right now, but I'm interested to see how that's going to all come along. If there's any team that I'm like, that team could realistically win it all, and I think I'd like to see them do it the most, of all those teams that I think are the most realistic, I think the Bucks would be fun to kind of see win it all. You know, I think that they've not been super dominant this season. I'd like to see Giannis win one in Milwaukee. So I'd like to see him stay in Milwaukee for the long haul. I think that's good for the league. So if I had to pick a team out of that elite group, I think it'd be Milwaukee. But we'll see. We'll see as the playoffs go on and what storylines kind of I gravitate towards. Talking more about Kemba, I love Kemba, but we can't have two starters with injury concerns. Kemba's knee is worrisome, and Rob has issues with the hip, lower limbs, and his blood. Yeah, I know. I know it's frustrating, and I know it's annoying at times, and it keeps coming in and out of the lineup. And if you have a good path to trade him, do it. But again, we can't act like he's nothing. And you're saying, I kind of want to see Kemba in Denver. That would be interesting. They have had some weird problems with point guards. I just don't know if they can make the money work its gear. I don't know what they don't really have many big salaries to trade that would work for that. So I know they've had problems with the point guard position with like Campazzo playing a lot this year and starting a lot this year. And Campazzo has been pretty okay, but he's not like, he's not an NBA starting point guard. So, they couldn't really, they couldn't. Oh, yo, rooting. Okay. I see. Not for Kemba. I got you. Yeah. Denver would be a fun team to see. I just think without Jamal Murray, it's going to be tough. But I think the Kemba stuff's interesting for Denver too. Anyway, once his contract's up, maybe they can sign him or something, and that would be something. But you know, by then, who knows where his knee's going to be at? But anyway, I think that's going to do it for this episode of podcast or this episode of the post game. It's also going to be on the Wicked Smart Sports Guys podcast. I'm going to post it up there, as I usually do when I hop on these post-game streams. But thank you guys for watching. Appreciate it as always. Make sure you subscribe to the Guy Boston Sports YouTube channel right down here. It still doesn't discredit Denver. I'm intrigued. Hey, you know what? Yeah, Kemba for Jokic. Who says no? No, I'm kidding. Maybe you swap Aaron Gordon back. No. There's nothing there really to talk about. There's no salary that would work. But anyway, yeah, guys, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check out me on Twitter at @ByKJDoyle. Shout out to Ev, who usually does the streams going all over the place. I know the last one, guys, kind of cut out, and we do apologize for that. Just technical issues that pop up sometimes, which is unfortunate after such a great game from Tatum, but it just happens that way sometimes. But we appreciate you guys sticking through us, sticking through that and trying to tune in for that, obviously. But yeah, guys, thanks for watching this one. Really appreciate it. I know my voice is going a little bit here. It's cracked a little. And I don't know what's going on. I've been talking a lot today. This is the end of a long day. So my voice is cutting out a little bit here. I got to get some water or something. But thank you guys for watching. Unfortunately, they couldn't win. But we'll be back next time. I think Ev should be back next time. I don't know. I don't have confirmation on that. But I haven't heard anything from him about Game 5. So I think he should be back for the next one. And it might be the last game. The last post game show of the season very well could be. So I'm sure Ev will have something special for that. I'm sure, you know, I should probably say too, as I'm kind of wrapping up things here, because I've done a handful of these, maybe 5 to 10 this season. I've lost track, probably five, somewhere between 5 to 10, probably. So I'm sure Ev will have a huge thank you to you guys when he does his. But if this is the last post game show I'm going to do for this season, I'd like to thank you guys as well for building up this YouTube channel. Really, this year, we've kind of gone hard after building the YouTube channel up to be a lot bigger, to be a lot better, and to really build the Guy Boston Sports YouTube channel. We've had the Twitter for a while, and that's done really well. And that's, I mean, I'm super proud of where that is now. And, you know, the fact that really we just get 1,000 likes on a tweet pretty much daily, it seems like now, or close to it, which is just mind boggling to me. Like, you know, even a year ago, and, you know, we started this whole thing, you know, almost 5 years ago now, but even a year ago, to get 1,000 likes on a tweet was like party time. And now I get it. And it's like, yeah, 1,000 likes, whatever. It's, you know, it happens pretty often now. And it's crazy. But, I should thank you guys on multiple levels. But, I guess just thank you guys for everything, for helping us build up the Twitter, the YouTube. This whole year has been another spectacular year for us. It seems like we're stringing these together now year after year. It just keeps getting better and better and bigger and bigger. But as far as the YouTube specifically, which is what I wanted to talk about originally, this year we didn't have a big YouTube presence, and we really dove into it, and really Ev really dove into it and did so much for the YouTube channel and really committed to it and started building it up. And I was able to hop on here a few times, do different streams, which I've really enjoyed. You know, I'll try to make more content during the off season of actual YouTube videos. It's always been really daunting because anytime I do something, I want it to be really good. And I know I'm not a professional YouTuber or anything like that yet. And I don't have all the editing the way I would want it to be and a full understanding of what I can and can't do and stuff like that. And I'm going to try to dive more into it in the off season, especially when I have more time. But the streams have been something I've really enjoyed. It's something that takes, you know, just you put a little production value in there with, you know, the post-game graphics that I have now, which obviously I've helped you out with. And the NFL draft stuff that I did with Nason and Sean Palmer helped me out with a lot of the graphics there. And a lot of the different streams, doing the pregame streams, obviously, with Jack and Sam and Tim, and doing those all year, which I've done a lot more in the post-games. I said I did the post-games 5 to 10 times. I've probably done the pre-games 10 to 25, maybe 30 times, something, some high number. I don't know what it is. But I've done that a ton. And it's been really awesome to see the growth of the YouTube channel this year and to see that kind of hard work from Ev and from everybody else really pay off. So I know just thanks for watching and talking to me in the chat every day, and then making it feel like a fun place to talk about the Celtics, even after losses, after wins, whatever it might be. And I hope that we can continue to build it up. And I'll just say, like, I know that I don't think he's in here now. I'm going to forget his name. But I just wanted to shout out to everybody. I mean, it's Gear, obviously, and Maul, as much as I've kind of come at you and we have our back and forth sometimes, it's always great to have you in here. MT23, I know you're in here all the time. Henry, all you guys, like, I know you guys are just, you guys are coming in and tuning in almost every stream, and it's really awesome. And really everybody out there who comes in, I know I'm forgetting all these other names that I see all the time now that are just like trying to race my brain to find them. But I know everybody who comes out all the time, we just always appreciate it. I'm trying to think of this guy's one guy's name now. I know Jack would kill me if Jack was in here and could tell me it. I think Sweaty Defense or whatever. Yeah, I think that was it. So he comes in here all the time too, and we appreciate that. So just thank you guys for everything you've been able to help us do with this channel this year. And hopefully next year it's back and better than ever, and you continue to enjoy it. And even when the Celtics are in their off season, I'm sure.